Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Our next guest, Newt Gingrich. Thank you for your time, Newt.
Well, listen, I'm delighted to have a chance to be with you. And it's, you know, it's kind of a wild period. I've never seen anything like it.
We are.
I'm honored to have a chance to share.
We're in a really bizarre time right now. You're coming to us, I was told, live from Italy, which is, of course, one of the hot spots during this pandemic. Can you give us a sense of the demeanor of the citizens over there, or are you not seeing any citizens because you're quarantined?
Well, that's right. No, we look, they got in so much trouble. It turned out that northern Italy had about 100,000 Chinese workers. That when the Chinese companies bought the Italian high-value companies, they wanted to be able to still say made in Italy. So they just brought Chinese workers in. So it's made in Italy by Chinese. And the result was they had three flights a week to Wuhan directly from northern Italy, where Trump stepped in and took some heat. Closed off the flights from China. The Italian government was politically correct, and for another 3 or 4 weeks, allowed three flights to come in every single week. Literally, it got out of control in northern Italy, and so badly out of control that they have closed the whole country down. So the only things that are open are gas stations, pharmacies, and grocery stores. And in that setting, if you go out on the street without a legitimate reason, the police can fine you up to €3,000. Which would be about $3,400. So they've taken it very seriously. The result is, in the last week, and we've been doing this now for over a month, in the last week, it has begun to become more effective, and you're seeing the rate of the virus spreading drop dramatically. It went down from about 10% a day. It's at about 2.6% yesterday. My hope is that by Monday or Tuesday, it'll be down below 2%. And at that point, they're going to start thinking about how they can reopen the country. It has been really a tough 5 or 6 weeks.
I saw that you and your wife, Calista, your lovely wife, posted a photo on Instagram that you guys took in Palm Sunday Mass. It's my understanding Pope Francis, though, did his service to an empty church. So I'm assuming you guys caught that on the phone or on the television?
But no, we watched it. They streamed it. We actually, on Palm Sunday, watched the Pope, and then because of the 6-hour time difference, we saw the Pope at noon in Rome, and then at 6 o'clock Roman time, which was noon back home, we watched the Basilica where Callista sang in the choir for 20 years, and it was also empty. So we had this weird experience, these two gigantic churches, both of them offered Mass by streaming video, both of them were closed. Again, it's going to be true tonight, we're going to watch the Pope on the Holy Thursday, which will be streamed, and then we'll watch Friday and Saturday and Sunday, which will be all be streamed. And Sunday we'll probably also watch the Basilica, just because Calista loves seeing the people that she used to work with for so many years. But I'm talking to you from Rome, which has 900 churches, and yet all of them are closed for legitimate reason until we break the back of the virus, because when you put lots of people in the same room, you really increase the likelihood that the virus will keep spreading. And so, in a sense, this is a strategy designed to starve the virus out. And that's what's going on.
Former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich joins us here. He's got a brand new book. Maybe you can take your mind off of what's going on. Also, you got plenty of time on your hands. Grab the new novel. It's called Shakedown. Now, this is a fiction novel, right, with some underlying truths to the story. I guess it involves Russian and Iran, an attempt to embark nuclear war on the U.S. Tell us a little bit more about this story that you wrote.
Yeah. Well, Shakedown starts with the historic facts that in World War II, the U.S. studied whether or not you could set off underwater explosions and create a tidal wave to drown Japanese ports. And then the Soviet Union during the Cold War studied the same thing with the use of nuclear weapons. So there's a basis historically for this concept. We then have an Iranian who actually was modeled on Soleimani, the general that we killed in Iraq, but we'd already gone to press by the time that happened, so we kept him in. But we have an Iranian general who hates America, who wants to work with a Russian billionaire. The billionaire has found an old Russian submarine. The general has an Iranian nuclear weapon, and their goal is to set it off underwater off of Washington and Baltimore. We have two American heroes, Valerie Mayberry, who's an FBI agent, and Brett Garrett, who's a Navy SEAL, and their job is to stop them. And so think of it as a roller coaster ride. This is really designed to say, if you're tired of worrying about the virus and you're tired of worrying about politics, I think you'll find Shakedown a very interesting alternative way to spend some of your time.
I saw that the part two of this book, Shakedown, this novel that you wrote, you quote the German poet Heinrich Heine, in which the quote is, "We should give forgiveness to our enemies, but not before they're hanged." I know that some people in our society now, in modern times, they look at something like this and they say, "Wow, that's pretty crazy." But the reality is, this is the way business was handled, right?
Look, remember the after World War II at the Nuremberg trials, there were a substantial number of people who were given death penalties because they had done really evil things. And I think that that's just something to remember. That Churchill said you could be magnanimous after you won the victory, but not before you won the victory. And I think we have to sometimes remember that. And frankly, that should be a little bit of our attitude going into finding out exactly what happened to the whole problem that we have with the Chinese and with the World Health Organization. A lot of people have died, and an amazing amount of money has been lost because the Chinese and the World Health Organization decided to lie to the American people.
Yeah, your previous book, Newt, was titled Trump versus China, another book you should go out and get that's penned by our guest here, Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House, Fox News contributor. I will give Trump some credit for being really tough on trade with China, not only China, but other countries as well. I like that we've flexed our muscles a little bit. I want jobs back here in the U.S. Where are we now in this matchup of Trump versus China, and how does this coronavirus play a part, you think?
Well, think of it as a 15-round fight, and we're about in round two. I think what the experience of the coronavirus will do is it will convince a larger number of American leaders that China is a dangerous adversary, that they are completely untrustworthy, and that the Chinese dictatorship behaves exactly like a dictatorship. They had doctors who, in December, were warning them, and their answer was to lock them up and to attack them and to smear them and only let them out if they were willing to sign something saying that they were wrong and that the virus wasn't a problem. And as late as the middle of January, the World Health Organization, which the Chinese dominate, was saying that there's no evidence of human-to-human transmission. Well, they knew that was a total lie. And I think as people learn more about this, and I think the Congress should look in detail at just how really bad the Chinese behavior has been. And I think it's a serious, serious problem.
There's a lot of time on people's hands out there. I have a few friends that are into these conspiracies, Mr. Speaker. I'm wondering if you could shed some light on this, but there are some people that are claiming that this is all a covert military operation. They're trying to deroot corruption amongst the elite in our world, including Hollywood, including politicians. And they're saying that it'd be really hard to shoot up a school or blow up an office building when there's no bodies in these spaces, and that there's a possibility that this is a military operation. Do you believe any of that?
No. I think that the virus itself almost certainly came out of a bat. There was a 2007 article written by a former Chinese scientist that warned that bats in South China are host to a coronavirus. And they said, if people keep eating these bats, sooner or later, the virus is going to cross over to humans. And they said, this is a time bomb waiting to go off. I mean, it is literally that bad. And so I think they had a 12-year period to fix this. They didn't fix it. And now they're suffering the consequences. Now, I do think once the pandemic started, that the Chinese behaved in terrible ways, and that there's more than enough reason to be really angry at the communist dictatorship, and there's more than enough reason to clean out the World Health Organization. But I don't think that's a conspiracy. I just think that that's a reality.
What do you think is the biggest threat on our national security here in 2020 and moving forward here in the next decade?
The biggest strategic threat is the collapse of our education system and the fact that we don't produce enough people capable of doing math and science and being engineers and technology people. Modern economies require very sophisticated workforces, and our schools have decayed so badly in the last 40 years that it's an enormous long-term threat to us.
Talking with Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House. Go get his new novel. It's available wherever you buy books. It's called Shakedown. You know, Newt, we have a lot of African Americans that listen to this radio show. Our station is owned by Shaquille O'Neal. Whether it's Donald Trump's fault or not his fault, the perception of a large majority of African Americans portray him as a racist. Unfortunately, that's just the reality of it. I know that you looked out for African Americans in your time in Washington. Heck, MLK Day wouldn't be a holiday if it wasn't for our guest that we're talking to right now. So what would you say to the African-American voters out there that right now you're hearing some of the, he doesn't look out for our community, he's a racist, they believe this stuff. What would you say, because I know that you are a supporter of our president, what would you say to these voters?
Well, I would say, first of all, that in terms of the things he's actually worked on, He clearly has been very aggressively doing things that help the African-American community. They had prior to this pandemic, we had the lowest unemployment rate in history for African-Americans. He has increased dramatically the amount of money going to historically black colleges and universities. He has been deeply committed to bringing jobs back home, which will be a huge help to the African-American community. The work he did, without him, we would not have passed the prison reform legislation that we did pass, which is of enormous importance in large parts of the black community. So I would say that there are a lot of specific things that Trump represents, very different kind of approach, a very hands-on, practical approach to try to help create a better future for all Americans. And that means, in particular, for African Americans who have more to gain than any other group in America if we have the right kind of economic policies and the right kind of social policies. And also I would point out that the commitment to school choice and to giving parents the ability to send their children to good schools is very directly important to the African-American community, because that is the community which is most trapped in really bad schools and therefore have their lives ruined because they don't learn the skills necessary to go out in the marketplace and to get good jobs.
All right, and finally, before we let you go, Newt, we like to get to know our guests a little better. We like to ask our guests if they collect anything specific. I like to collect vinyl records. We found out Tom Hanks likes to collect typewriters. Is there anything Newt Gingrich likes to collect around the house?
Yeah, I collect fossils.
You do? Interesting.
I have my Calista was very good to me and got me a cast from the Cleveland Museum of a Nano Tyrannus, which is a small T-Rex, which is very exciting to me. My daughters gave me some fossil fish. The American Museum of Natural History gave me the can.